We'll just turn to the Word of God in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll be commencing our reading at verse 3 to verse 14. But with God's Word open before us, we'll just bow in a word of prayer, asking help from God. Lord, our Heavenly Father, as we draw nigh into Thy presence, we feel our own unworthiness, our own sinfulness before Thee, but we thank Thee that worthy is the Lamb of God which was slain. And we pray, Lord, and plead the blood against the enemy, against powers and principalities. We pray that man would be hid behind the cross, and that Thy dear Son would be exalted far above all. We pray for those outside of Christ. Thou would be pleased to draw them unto Thyself this night. We thank Thee for Thy promises. We thank Thee for Thy Word. And we pray, O God, that You would bless Your Word, and that man would be hid behind the cross, and that Thou would be exalted far above all. We pray especially for the preaching of Thy Word. We pray, Lord, that Thou would breathe upon Thy Word, that Thou would outpour Thy Holy Spirit. We ask all these things for Thine eternal glory, that Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. In Christ's name we pray, and for Christ's sake. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, commencing at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purposed possession, unto the praise of His glory. Amen. And we know that God will bless the public reading of His own word for His own name's sake. Dear friend, if there's a verse that sums up my testimony, it is this: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I didn't have the privilege of growing up in a Christian home, rather an unconverted household. I was the firstborn with a younger brother and sister, but I can honestly say that I was far from a good example to them. The first time I sat under God's Word was at the age of 14, and I can remember that night clearly, sitting in the middle of the balcony, God speaking directly to me, telling me that I was a sinner and that I needed to be saved. John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. God was speaking directly to me, telling me that I was a sinner and that I needed to be saved. But I can honestly say that I did not want to hear what God had to say. And I went out of that meeting and continued on in the ways of the world, falling deeper and deeper into sin. Dear friend, sin will take you further than you want to go. It was only when I became really ill, a real change began in my life. Through pride, I wouldn't go to the doctors. I remember telling my friends that I was okay. 2 weeks later, I was nearly dead. I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And I remember clearly sitting, lying on the edge of my bed, crying on to the Lord to save me. For I knew if I was to die that night, that I would go to hell, that I would perish. For whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But thank God that I cried unto the Lord that night. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him and brought him out of all his troubles. But I can honestly say I began recovering from hospital, and I wasn't walking with God. You see, the Bible clearly teaches, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And I wasn't going to a place of worship, so therefore, how could I grow? If you take, for example, a mother and her child, and the mother stops feeding that child, well, surely that child's not going to grow. And that's how I was spiritually. I wasn't feeding on the word of God. It wasn't too long until I began working with a believer by the name of Frankie Smith. You see, the Lord was continually drawing me onto himself. And I thank God for that man, Frankie Smith. He was a great encouragement to me, always telling me things of the Bible each day. And it wasn't too long until he said, do you want to go to church with me? And I thought in my own heart to myself that I would go as like repaying a favour, because the man was decent enough to give me a job. But little did I know, the word of God says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And on the 1st of May 2006, I stayed behind talking to Mr. Greer, and he pointed me to my Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God for his dear Son. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Christ Jesus lay down his life for his friends. Friend of sinners. You see, the Bible clearly teaches, whomsoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, God is not a man that he should lie. Take him at his word right now. Maybe you're in this meeting, you're not saved. Maybe you're only here because your parents are here. Dear friend, the Lord has said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Dear friend, take him as his word right now. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Dear friend, what do you think that means? It means exactly what it says. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance is an about turn in your life. And if we repent not, we will perish eternally. Ever since the Lord has saved me, I've rejoiced in what He has done and what He is continually doing in my life. He saved me out of my family. My family are not saved. But I thank God that I have the privilege to pray for them. And I'm sure that there's many in here and they have unsaved people in their family. But we rejoice that we have God's dear Son, that we have a great High Priest sat at the right hand of God. Dear friend, don't go the way I went in the ways of the world. Come to Christ tonight. There's life in Christ. May God bless this testimony for His own name's sake.
Just stand for a wee word of prayer. Just ask God to bless our brother's testimony. Thank you, Lord, for the day you brought Brian to yourself. Thank you, Lord, for not only showing him his sin, but Lord, we thank thee for revealing to him the Savior. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you'll do likewise for precious souls in this gathering. Lord, we pray that you'll show young people their sin. But, oh God, show them that there's a Savior from their sin. And His name is Jesus. And we thank Thee that we can say tonight He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. Father, we thank Thee for that godly man in Brian's life that spoke to him and invited him to the house of God. Father, I pray that we might ever see the need to invite others to God's house that they might hear words whereby they can be saved. And so, Lord, in the closing moments of the meeting, help us just to exalt the Savior, uplift the man of Calvary. We thank the Lord that you've said, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. O blessed Spirit of God, draw precious souls to Jesus tonight and save them for eternity. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for His glory alone. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles very briefly with me this evening in the first book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. Thank our brother for his word of testimony to the saving power of Christ in his life and what God has done in his life. Thank God he can do in yours. It is no secret what God can do. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let us read some verses from this passage of God's Word at verse number 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves after the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. For it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. I want you to underline the verse number 19, the simple words, but with the precious blood of Christ. With the precious blood of Christ. We have been singing the songs of Zion this evening, and you'll notice that every one of them have the emphasis upon the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank God for the blood of Jesus. You know, if you hear a man standing upon a pulpit and there is no blood in his message, the blood of Jesus is not mentioned, then you can be dead on certain that he is not preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, without the blood, there is no remission. I want very simply this evening, in the closing moments of this meeting, to tell you about four things that the blood of Jesus Christ does for your life and mine. And I pray that you'll tonight just listen to me carefully as we open the scriptures concerning the blood of Jesus. The first one was read by our brother as he was opening his testimony in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. It says in verse number 7, Ephesians 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And the first blessing that God gives you and me through the precious blood of his Son, thank God, pardon is gained through the blood of the Lamb. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Now, Paul is writing to the believers at the church at Ephesus, and he is speaking to them and he's telling them about their blessings in Christ. He says that we're chosen in Christ, verse number 4, before the foundation of the world, and that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And then he says in verse 5 that we are predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. And then it says in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. And when Paul was writing to these believers at Ephesus, he was giving us the very heart of the gospel message. Because, thank God, we have pardon that is gained through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the Passover lamb. You remember that God spoke to the children of Israel through his servant Moses, and God told them that the death angel was going to pass through the land of Egypt. And we find that the children of Israel were slaves, and they were down there in Egypt in bondage. But God said that the angel of death was going to pass through. And God said they were to take the blood of the lamb, and they were to apply the blood upon the lintel and the doorposts. And God says, when I see the blood, he said, I will pass over you. And that night they were delivered, they were redeemed. They were delivered by the power of the blood. And that night when the angel of death passed through, God stood over the door, and praise God, the angel of death could not enter in because God stood guard over the door, and God preserved his people through the precious blood of the Lamb that was slain. Now the Bible tells us that Christ Jesus is our Passover. And thank God, Jesus Christ, in the shedding of his own precious blood, we have redemption through that blood, the forgiveness of sins. You know, tonight, you're in this gathering, there's not one of us have not sinned. The Bible says if we say we have no sin, we only deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And therefore, we being sinners, we need cleansing and we need pardon for our sins. But in ourselves, we cannot cleanse ourselves. We're totally, absolutely incapable of doing any good thing. God says, thou shalt
And friends, we do not. God says, thou shalt not. And God knows in our rebellious state, in our sinful state, we do. And we have sinned against God. And there's no man that has not sinned. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And your sins separate you from God. The children of Israel were in bondage. They were in slavery down in the land of Egypt. And man in his sin, he is in the bondage of his sin. Friend, let me tell you, he is totally and absolutely bound and fettered and chained by his sin that he cannot deliver himself. My, he is broken. I can always think of a man who came to my house. I remember mostly it was on a Saturday night at 2 o'clock in the morning. And he would drop on the door of 10 Highfield Road and he would ask to come in. And that young man would come in and the tears were running down his cheek because he was bound and fettered by the curse of alcohol. And you know, that young lad sat in my room time after time and he used to cry. And he used to say to me, I can't get freedom. I'm in bondage and I've tried the best. I have tried to break the chains. I've tried to get liberty. But he said, I have to confess, I'm broken again. Sure enough, you can be dead certain that on the next Saturday night he would come to the door and at 2 o'clock in the morning he would rap it again. And he would sit and he would cry again. And my friend, his tears were real. But he was in bondage. He was in bondage by his sin. He was a slave to his sin. Friend, I tell you tonight, so are you if you're not saved in this meeting. The reason why you're not saved, you're in slavery. You're in bondage to your sin, and you're enchained and ensnared by the power of your sin. And let me tell you, maybe you've tried to break off the little sins. And maybe you said, I'm going to try to change my life. And maybe you try to change this wee bit and that wee bit. Friend, let me tell you this, the problem's deeper than that. It's far, far deeper than that. It's the problem of your heart. The Bible says the heart of man is deceitful above all things. And it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? Oh, that man could see the rottenness of the sinfulness of his heart. It's only evil continually, the Bible says. Continually. Man is a sinner through and through, friend. Sometimes we talk about man, we'll talk about different sins. And we'll point to different things in people's lives. And we'll say, that's a sin. I want to tell you this, my friend. It's not little sins that's tied onto you. And that's the problem of your heart. It's much deeper than that. It's right inside in the very innards of your being. Because you're enslaved by sin itself. You're talking about the manifestations of sin. But my friend, there's a greater problem than the manifestations of your sin. Even friend, listen, you were able to make all those wee changes in your life. Let me tell you, you'll still go to hell. You'll still be lost. You'll still be in fetters. Let me tell you, because your sin stands against you and against you in the sight of a holy God. And God looks upon your heart and God sees your sinfulness. And friend, it's not a little sin, to be honest. You're a sinner through and through. Absolutely and totally and completely lost. And you're way to hell. Oh, that God would open your eyes tonight and let's say, oh God, I'm lost. Oh God, I'm enslaved. I'm enslaved. I'm captured by sin. We look at young people tonight. And friend, if we could see some of them, they're lying along the streets tonight and they're injecting themselves with drugs. And to be honest, they're enslaved by drugs. See, that's a manifestation of their sin. We see lads and lassies, let me tell you this. And they're running the streets on maybe weeknights as well, but quite often on Friday and Saturday nights. And let me tell you, they've hardly a stitch on them. And they're running around, friend, let me tell you. And they're holding up the glass, and friend, there's at times they cannot even hold it in their hand because of that full with a curse of alcohol. That's a manifestation of their sin. But friend, that's not the problem. The problem's deeper. Because the God of the Bible tells me this, that sin is so deep that the heart of man is deceitful above all things, and it's desperately wicked. It's so wicked you can't even know it. It's so wicked, friend, you don't realize how sinful you are. You know, there are people who say to me, preacher, I would never go that far. Let me tell you this, friend, stop your boasting. Don't you walk down the street and stick your nose in the air and think you're something because you're walking past a drunkard. Let me tell you, that could be you just as well as them. And if you think you couldn't, then let me tell you what God says. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. And friend, there's not one of us in this meeting tonight. Our young brother gave us testimony of the saving grace of God. But remember this, that's where we all started, a sinner. A rotten, hellish, hell-bound sinner, slaved, enslaved. Tell me, how were they delivered in Egypt? How were they rescued? How were they redeemed? By the blood of the Lamb! Thank God the blood was applied. The blood was shed. And then the blood was applied. And God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The death angel passed that night. You know what God did? God delivered his children out of bondage. And I want to tell you tonight, there is pardon that can be gained in this service tonight. You come into the service a guilty soul. And then to be honest, if God was to bring you to the bar tonight of his judgment, if God was to bring you to the throne of his judgment, God would say to you, I find you guilty. I remember way back in 1971, a young preacher stood in a courtroom in Limavady in front of a boy called R.M. Shearer. And I can remember well sitting, first of all, in that little box up there at the front, and I tell you, it wasn't a place of position of privilege. I was the prisoner. And I remember looking at him, and to tell you the truth, as I looked at him, and then he said, would you please stand? And I never forget it. I stood there. And then he said this, I find you guilty. And friend, I'll tell you what I didn't do. I didn't laugh at him. I didn't say, boys, isn't it wonderful, I'm guilty. If I had, I'd been a fool. And they said, I sentence you. And dear unsaved person, I want to tell you before God tonight, you're as guilty as hell. You're as guilty as the devil if you're without Jesus Christ. The Bible says, listen to the word of God. The word of God says, he that believeth not is condemned already. You're not waiting to be found guilty. You're already guilty. You're not waiting to be condemned. Let me tell you, man, you're already in the condemned cell. And you can only see it. And if you go on and your sin is yours as a God in heaven, I want to tell you this, you'll stand before God, and when the book of God is open, you'll stand like I stood those years ago. But the judge is not here. It's the Lord of glory. And when you stand before the Lord of glory, and he says, sinner, I find you guilty. Let me tell you, friend, you'll not be wondering whether you're guilty or not. For as sure as anything, I want to tell you, as sure as you'll be standing there, when the records of God are open, you'll not be waiting to find out whether you made it good or not. Because every sin of your lifetime recorded in the book of God, friend, will be recorded and recalled at the judgment throne of God. And they say, sinner, I never knew you. I was speaking to our brother Phil Moffat the other day, one of the elders over in our congregation in Liverpool, and he was saying to me about about a preacher or an evangelist. He went to a door one day and he knocked the door. And when he knocked the door or rang the bell, the wife thought it was the husband home, for it was the time that he usually came home from work. And so she just ran and she opened the door, expecting the husband to be standing there on the other side. And there was this man standing at the door. He says, "Madam," he says, "do you know God?" And friend, let me tell you, she stood and she was just, you would say, just gobsmacked. And she just slammed the door right in his face. And she walked back into the kitchen and tell you, she was troubled about this. Because the question was just, do you know God? Shortly after that, her husband came home. And the husband came home and she sat down his dinner before him, and she says to him, "Husband," she said, "I want to tell you something happened a wee while ago there. The doorbell rang and I thought it was you home." And she says, "I ran to the door expecting you to be standing. There was this man standing in the door. He says to me, 'Madam, do you know God?'" He says, "Well, what did you do?" She says, "I slammed the door in his face. And I walked away from the door." And she says, "To tell you the truth, I haven't rested. And I've been making this dinner and I haven't rested from the moment that he said it." He says, "Did you not tell him? Did you not tell him we are one of the most respected people in this neighborhood?" She turned to her husband. She said, "But that's not what he asked me. Was I respectable? He asked me, did I know God? Did you not tell him that we give pay to the church? How dare he stand in our door? Did you not tell him we were good members of the church?" He said, "But," she said, "husband, he didn't ask me that. If he had asked me that, I could have told him. But he didn't ask me that." He said, "I can't get away from it. That wasn't the question. It's, do you know God?" The Spirit of God struck that woman under conviction then. Until the place, she came to the place where she came to know him through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As she came as a sinner to Jesus. And sometimes we want to ask the, or answer the wrong questions, friends. Let me ask you this. Do you know the Lord? You say, "Sure, I'm sitting in God's house there." I didn't ask you, you're sitting in God's house, friend. I know you are. I'm asking you, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know the God of glory? Do you know the pardon of your sin? Do you know what it is to have your sin cleansed in the blood of the Lamb? Or if God was to call you out to meet him tonight, would your sin stand against you? You see, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. It's wonderful to have your sins forgiven tonight. Then very quickly, turn to Colossians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. It says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Go on down to verse 20. "And having made peace through the blood of his cross." You see, not only is pardon gained through the blood, thank God peace is granted through the blood. You see, friend, whenever your sins are dealt with, whenever your sins are put under the precious blood of Jesus, God says this, "Your sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Thank God the war is over. You know, there are people today, and they've been asking this, they've been wanting them to say, the Republicans to say, the war is over. I'm going to ask you tonight, friend, is the war over? is a war over in your hearts against God. You say, what do you mean, preacher? The Bible tells me that the man who's unsaved is at enmity with God. You're an enemy of God. You can sit in a gospel meeting, friend, and let me tell you, still your heart be at enmity with God. You can be at war with a God of glory. You see, my friend, you will not surrender to the claims of Jesus Christ if you have never taken your place as a lost and a guilty, lonely sinner before God. I want to tell you this, then you don't know the pardon of Christ. And if you don't know the pardon of Christ, then you can't have the peace of Christ. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, He's not only our Passover, He's our peace. The Lord Jesus. You see, not only did He make peace through the blood, you see, our sins, which were many, praise God, the night I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth me from all sin. And praise God, the blood was applied. And whenever God looked on my heart, He could not see my sin. Why? Because my sin was covered and cleansed and put away through the blood of the Lamb. I think it was one of Nicholson's meetings. There was a man who was in the prayer meeting one night, and he was in the prayer meeting, he was praying, and he was telling the Lord, he says, Lord, it's me again, and Lord, you know that rascal I used to be. And Lord, you remember those places I used to go, and Lord, you remember those sins I used to do, but Lord, I thank you that, you know, and he was going on about what he did, this and the other, what he used to be. And Nicholson could take him no more, he says, shut your mouth, you fool, you. He says, God knows nothing of the sort. Somebody said that was very curse of Nixon. Let me tell you, my friend, what Nixon was saying is this. God says in His precious word, your sins and your iniquity will I remember no more. And then he said, Lord, do you remember? Not at all, He didn't. How could God remember them when the sins were gone? I'll tell you this. As far as the east is from the west, the Bible says, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Listen to it carefully. As far as the east is from the west, not as far as the north is from the south, as far as the east is from the west. Why? Because if it had been the north and the south, you could have measured the distance. You can't measure the distance, the east and the west. You know what the Lord's saying? He says, when He puts away your sin, friend, thank God they're gone forever. You see, there's a difference between satanic accusation and Holy Ghost conviction. Now, if there's sins in your life as a child of God, friend, and the Holy Ghost, through the Word of God and through the ministry of His Word and through circumstances and the way God works, and God is putting His finger upon things in your life that needs to be put right, God has every right to convict you about them because you need them dealt with. And you need to get them under the blood. But I want to tell you this, my friend. If those sins are under the blood of Jesus, if you have repented of those sins and they're under the blood of Christ, I want to tell you this. When the old Nick comes himself and he points the finger and says, listen, how could you call yourself a Christian? Look what you used to be. Let me tell you, friend. The devil's a liar. Satanic accusation. And sad to say, there are some of God's people and they're tormented by satanic accusation about things of the past that God has forgiven and God does not remember. For they're under the blood of Jesus. Don't you let the devil torment you. For what God has forgiven and you have repented of and claimed the covering of the blood of Jesus, thank God, God has forgotten your sins, though your sins be as scarlet. Look at that verse just for a quick moment. In Isaiah chapter 1. And the Holy Ghost, I think it's lovely, the Holy Ghost is talking to you, see. And the Holy Ghost says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, he says this, "Come now and let us reason together." The Lord wants to reason with you, friend. The Lord's talking to you. He says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they should be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Thank God tonight. When the Lord deals with our sin, when the Lord puts away our sin, he says, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." Listen to this carefully. In John chapter 5, verse 24, listen to the rest of the verse. "And shall not come into condemnation." The devil will never take you to hell. Glory to God. You'll not come into condemnation because you're already passed from death unto life. Know a lot of people, you know, and they're tormenting, the old devil's tormenting them. And the old devil says, "Aha, you'll not be able to keep it. You'll not be able to keep going. You're going to go to hell and I'm going to drop you out of God's family." Let me tell you this, the devil's a liar. He never put you into the family and praise God, he'll not drop you out of it either. For the one that brought me into God's family is the one that will keep me in God's family. Because the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And let me tell you, he says that "I give unto my sheep eternal life." And then he said this, "And they shall never perish." And then he goes further, "Neither shall any." Now it says in our Bible, you notice the next word, "any man." But you notice it's written in italics, "man's" in italics. It means that it was put in by the translators with a flow of meaning. "Neither shall any, man, woman, or devil, pluck you out of my hand." I want to tell you this, my friend. I'm not holding on to the Lord, friend. And I'm holding on as tight because I'm afraid that I let slip or I let go. I want to tell you, he's holding on to me. The Bible says this, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his throne." Praise God, there's peace granted through the blood. I'll give you these two and you can chew upon them on your way home. No, you better, well, if you're dead in the car, don't chew upon them on the way home, because at least don't read them, because you could be in trouble with the police and you could be in trouble with the road as well, or the hedge. But let me give you this, friend. Not only is there pardon gained, not only is there peace granted. Look at Revelation 20, or 12, brother. Revelation 12. Revelation chapter 12. And the verse is the verse 11. It says this. "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused us before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death." Thank God, not only is their pardon gained and peace granted, power is girded, because it says this, "They overcame him." Who's the him? That's the devil. They overcame him. Now let me tell you this, my friend. Just get this, because sometimes we give the devil more, you know, we give him greater place than he deserves. There is only one devil. And the devil can't be everywhere at one time. He's not omnipresent. The Lord Jesus Christ is omnipresent. The heaven of heavens could not contain him. He's with his child in Japan. He's with his child in Ulster. He's with his child in China. He's with his child in Australia. He's omnipresent. There's not a place where he is not. He is the Almighty God. But the devil is not omnipresent. You say, well then what happens? You say to me, the devil's after me. Let me tell you, friend. He has to use agents. That's why it's actually demons. And there's one devil and there's his agents, the demons of hell. And the demons of hell, let me tell you, come against or unleashed against the child of God at times. And the Bible says this, and they overcame him. That's the power of the devil. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. And by the word of their testimony. Thank God there's power girded for the child of God. You know, the old devil wants you to feel, you know, that you're not going to make it through. Or the old devil wants you to feel you're going to, you know, he's going to overcome you. I want to tell you, friend, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. I always pray, you know, when the old devil comes and attack, or his agents come and attack, I must be honest before God, friend. I claim the covering of the blood of the Lamb. Sometimes he comes in the night hours and you know he attacks your mind, and I just claim the covering of the blood of the Lamb, and I just claim the power and the protection of the blood of the Lamb. What did God say concerning the children of Israel? He says, and when I see the blood, I shall stand guard over you. Oh, don't you let the devil torment you tonight and say, oh, you're not going to make it. Glory to God. I can say to him, I couldn't make it, but Jesus will make it. He'll bring me through. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through him. Through him that loved us. I want to tell you tonight, if you're under the power of the devil, there's power for liberty. In the gospel of Jesus Christ and in the blood of the Lamb. There is not a sin that binds you tonight. There is not a sin that corrupts your soul. There is not a sin that stains your heart tonight. But the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus, thank God, is able to overcome and cleanse and make you clean. Now are ye clean. Isn't that a lovely word? Now are you clean? The word. I think of the woman in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. And she's a harlot woman. Somebody tells her that Jesus is in Simon's house. And so she wanders off the street as they did in those Eastern days whenever feasts were being held in honor of guests. People could wander and sit around the side and watch. And this woman wandered in. And there's the master in the midst. He's reclining upon the seat. And he's eating. And the woman comes behind the master. Her heart is broken. You know, people think that she just loves her sin and she's getting such great joy in her sin. Let me tell you this, my friend. There's many a man sitting in the boozing den tonight, and let me tell you, he's not enjoying one minute of it. You say, well, why is he there? Because he's a poor sod of the devil chained by it. And there's many a woman, let me tell you, is a harlot tonight, and she's walking the streets. And she's slaved, enslaved, and ensnared by her harlotry. And if you could only see the tears at times of a broken life. And never forget, she's some mother's daughter. She's some father's child. She comes to the feet of Jesus. She walks behind him as his feet lay out over along the back of the couch on which he reclined. And she knelt down at his feet and she wept. And she washed his feet with her tears. We're so quick to judge, aren't we? We're so quick to point the finger. Let me tell you, I could hear somebody saying, "Master, if you only knew who she was." Let me tell you, he knew exactly who she was. But Jesus saw her broken heart. And she knelt there at the feet of Christ. Do you know what Jesus said to her? He says, "Woman, thy sins, which are many, are forgiven thee." He said, "Go in peace. It's in the book, friend." That woman went home that night. And thank God the power of her sin was broken. And the pain of her sin was healed. And the Lord changed her life. She was never the same again. And I want to guarantee you, in the blessed name of my Savior tonight, He can break the power of your cancer sin. He can set the prisoner free. Man and woman tonight, He can change your life, never to be the same again. There's pardon, there's peace, and there's power. Here's the last verse, Revelation 7:14. "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest," the question is, what are these? They asked him, "What are these that are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? How did they get here?" John's in the Isle of Patmos. The Lord gives him a vision of glory. And there he sees before the throne in verse 9. He says, "I see a great multitude." And he says, "There's so many, I can't even number them. And they're of all kindreds and all peoples and all nations and all people and tongues." Everywhere in the earth, friend, there's a people for himself. And they're before the throne. They're looking on Jesus. Verse 13, "One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are they? What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came? How did they get here?" And I said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said to me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Thank God, paradise is gained. Paradise is gained. They're in glory. Thank God tonight, I'm going to make it. I am. I'm going to make it. I'm going to be in heaven some of these days. Maybe some of these hours. I don't know. But I'm going to be there. And you know, you'll be surprised and say, "How did he get there?" I'll tell you. Because my robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's power in the blood. We sang a wee hymn tonight. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin.
Will you come to Jesus, friend, and let him do that?
Would you let him give you that pardon? Will you let him give you that peace? Will you let him give you that power? And then paradise as well. Heaven itself. What a Savior. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you tonight for the precious blood of your dear Son. Thank you for the peace that has been given. Thank you, Lord, for that gracious pardon given and peace granted. Thank you for that power girded. Thank you for paradise gained. And I pray tonight that some precious soul in this gathering will look away from their sin and look away to Jesus who can deliver them. Maybe they've tried to change their lives, but they've failed. And have a guilty past and a sinful present. And oh God, they've an awful future. Hell itself. Lord, would you save them tonight? Save them now. As our heads are bowed in the closing moment, friend of the meeting, let's sing one little verse of a hymn. Just as I am, without one plea. That thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to the old Lamb of God I come. If there's a man, a woman, or a girl, a young person in this service, you say, preacher, if you could see my heart tonight and the sin that has stained my soul, is there hope for me? Praise God, there is. The blood of the Lamb. Will you come to Jesus? You say, well, how can I come? You come as you are, friend. You come as you are. Let the Lord Jesus do the changing. Let the Lord Jesus give you eternal life. Let the Lord Jesus save your soul. Just as I am, as we sing the verse, just lift that hand in to get that desire, dear anxious soul. Run to Jesus tonight. Run to him. Praise God, he'll save you. Let's sing the little verse.
Just as I am with.
Is there someone tonight in this meeting you say, preacher,
I need to be saved? Someone backslidden, you need to get back.
I wonder right now, then, before God, just lift that hand toward heaven. Don't be afraid or ashamed. Just raise that hand to heaven, friend. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just raise that hand to heaven as an indication of that desire. Preacher, lead me to Jesus tonight. Is there someone before we close, friend? I beg you in God's name, don't miss the cleansing of the blood of the Lamb. Just as I am, waiting not the final verse. Just as I am and waiting not. Tell me, what are you waiting for? There'll never be a better moment.
Never be a better time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Is there one before we close, friend?
You just raise that hand toward heaven. O Lamb of God, I come. Is there someone that will tell up to the Lord tonight? I come.
We're here to help you tonight. Please don't go away without Jesus Christ. Side door of the, around the side of the building's open. The front doors are here open. I'll be in the minister's room, friend. Please, I beg you, don't go away. Don't walk away from Jesus, friend. He's the friend of sinners. He's the healer of broken hearts. He's the savior from sin. His name is Jesus. Come to him tonight. Child of God, if you're with someone, help one another to the cross. Come with them. Heavenly Father, write your word in our hearts. blessed in Jesus' precious name to our soul. We ask it for His glory. Amen.